First Peter chapter 4. Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something. And thus the dread pirate Robert summarizes life to Princess Buttercup in The Princess Bride. And nowhere is this more true than when we follow Christ. Here in 1 Peter 4, Peter returns to the theme of the suffering of Christ. But this time, he is not writing simply to encourage his believers when they suffer. No, now he is going to call them to embrace the suffering. Verse 1, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude." Followers of Jesus, be prepared. It's not only time to accept submission, but suffering. But how do we do that? First, we need to have the same attitude, the same mindset of Christ. In the Western Church, that's America and Western Europe, we often have a hard time accepting the place of suffering. We want a gospel that offers us a healthy body and a fat wallet. We want comfort and ease, but Christ challenges all of these things. Jesus chose to live as a stranger in the world and expected hardship, and Peter calls us to do the same. Verse 1 continues, "Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin." Now, Peter is not saying that those who suffer are sinless, but rather those that suffer for the gospel show that they are done with sin. Everyone who is prepared to suffer for Jesus demonstrates that they have resolved to give up sins. They have given up seeking pleasure and ease and instead are willing to suffer for the name of Christ. Verse 2, "As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Peter reminds his readers that they have already tried to live the comfortable life. Verse 3, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. But the time is up to live like the world around us. But know this, when you decide to follow Jesus, the world around will not understand. They will mock you, persecute you, and treat you different." Verse 4, "They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Verse 6 may sound like there's a chance of repenting after death, but that is not the case. Peter is reminding his believers about those who have been martyred for their faith. These believers have been falsely judged by men, but now in the presence of God, they receive their true judgment. "Those that are dead" means those that are now dead at the time Peter was writing. Hebrews 9 reminds us that there is only one chance for salvation, and that is in this life. Peter now reminds his readers how to live in light of the coming final judgment. Verse 7, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray." First, Peter says to remain sober-minded and serious in our prayers. Too often we Christians, following prophecy charts and reading the newspaper for signs of Christ's coming, fail to apply this truth to our lives. The church has been waiting for some time for Christ's return, and while we ourselves wait, we should be devoted to diligent prayer. Verse 8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Peter also tells us to love one another, because love makes up for almost everything. There's a simple reality that when we live in community, we're going to hurt each other. Personality conflict, immaturity, mistakes, they happen. But when that community is built on love, small offenses, and even some large ones, are overlooked and forgotten. But when we live without love, every word, every glance, every laugh is seen with suspicion. We are in a constant state of conflict with each other, and Satan, he laughs with delight. Verse 9, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Peter reminds his readers to also open their homes to those in need, and to use their gifts and talents to build each other up. The ultimate goal of this entire section? Take care of each other. The church was being mistreated by the world, and so they needed to stay together. The culture in which we live is very individualistic, and often when a person is weak, they're left out or left behind. But don't let it happen in church. Love one another, care for each other, help each other, build each other up. Verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Ironically, the same Peter who once tried to convince Jesus to avoid the suffering of the cross is now telling his listeners to prepare for fiery trials. And I love Peter's wording here. Do not be surprised. When trials hit, even fiery ordeals, why do we act as though something strange is going on? This is exactly what God told us to expect. So when they do come, see them as ways to share in Christ's sufferings. And if we share in his sufferings, we will also share in his glory and joy. It all works together. But what does Peter mean when he says that we participate in the sufferings of Jesus? We can only share Jesus' sufferings because he shared our humanity and our sufferings. The strange thing about trials, when we endure them alone, they can feel unbearable. But endured together, they not only become more bearable, they bring us together. The deepest friendships are forged in the fires of struggle and hardship. We bond with those who went through it with us. And so Jesus became a man and suffered so that our suffering wouldn't be meaningless and so that it would never be alone. It is good to share anything with Jesus, even his suffering. But make sure you're suffering for the right reasons. Verse 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Suffering for Jesus is a blessing. It shows us that we are following Jesus and that we choose to be identified with him. But if you get caught cheating or stealing, don't call that suffering for Jesus. Or even just meddling where you don't belong. They're not mad because you're a Christian. They're mad because you're meddling and you're bringing Jesus' name into it. If we're going to do shameful things, let's not drag Jesus' name into it. Verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If Jesus took our judgment on the cross, what does Peter mean that judgment begins in the household of God? Right now, God uses judgment in a positive way for his church. Think about this. The same fire that burns up straw purifies gold. The fire is the same, but its purpose is different. For a believer, judgment is not condemnation. It's a purification. God uses judgment and trials and sufferings and pains in the life of a believer to make us more like Christ. Trials keep us humble, help us grow in character and our attitude, if we let the Spirit work through them. So allow trials to do their work. Your friends and family will appreciate it. Christians, we are called to be holy and set apart. And God uses suffering as a way of making us holy. We may face some of the same trials that non-Christians face, but the effect is different. Natural disasters, terrorism, cancer, these can bring despair apart from Christ. But with Christ, we have hope. Trials help us focus on Christ and on the hope we have in him. We can rest assured that he will strengthen us, purify us, and sustain us through every trial. Join us tomorrow as we finish out 1 Peter on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.